Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to Al-Bayan Live. I'm your host, Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear beloved brother, Sheikh Nazir. Maskala, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah barik fik and adal. Jazakallah khairan for having me.
Wa iyak, thank you for being with us. And I'd like to welcome all the viewers watching on YouTube and Facebook Live. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Al-Bayan Radio, and also all those listening on our apps. Barakallah fikum. We have a very important topic today for all Muslims, and that is tips in memorizing the Quran. Now, our dear brother Nazir has joined us before and spoke about etiquette of reciting the Quran, tajweed, and other things to do with the Quran. The Quran is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why we want to discuss how to memorize the Quran, because this is one of the rights towards the Quran, to memorize the book of Allah, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sheikh Nazir, where do we start when addressing memorizing the Quran?
Subhanallah. You know, everyone has this goal in life. Sometimes, yani, they come up with this goal, and a lot of people have this goal of wanting to memorize the Quran. For subhanallah, yani, this is, as we know, the Quran is the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, given to Jibreel, brought down to Bayt al-Izzah fi al-Sama, and brought down to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam over 23 years. And we know how heavy these words are, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, لَوَ أَنزَلْنَا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ عَلَى جَبَلٍ لَرَأَيْتَهُ خَشْعًا مُصَدِّعًا مِنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ. And if you need to truly understand the seriousness and the importance of these words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yani, even if it was given to a mountain, the mountain would crumble through the khashiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, yani, these words are not to be taken lightly. These words are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's not given to just anybody. Obviously, if someone wants to memorize the Quran, they need to have that intention to memorize the Quran, and they need to have what's most important is the sincerity, because everything we do in this life should be done towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You were created for worship, and you should be having, yani, all your actions and your a'mal and your ibadah purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even including like things that you would do for your parents or for your wife or for work or for anything out there that you need to do in life. All your actions should be purely based and sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Loving something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, obviously not as much or as great as what you would love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, such as your parents or your wife or whatever it may be, but you love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لِرْضَاءِ اللَّهِ. So it is absolutely essential to have this pure and sincere intention for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because we see a lot of people, they want to memorize because they want to become famous. They've heard a few verses from Abdul Basit, or they've fallen in love with Abdul Basit, and they think that, you know, I want to be a reciter. I want to, you know, sit in a chair like Abdul Basit. And but in SF, we see the most recent of reciters, they sit on the chair and wallahu alam with their intentions, but it just looks, it just doesn't look like they're doing it sincerely for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, they go up just to stir the crowd, and then they go down, and then, yeah, and we see things of, you know, innovation and whatnot. So,
it's very important, Sheikh Nazir, why I have you there, that to remind the listeners and the viewers of the first three people who will be thrown into the fire. One of them is a qari, a reader, a scholar who, you know, why did you read for, he'll be asked. And he said, he'll say,
his intentions,
1, 2, 3,
will be questioned.
Yeah, I read for your sake, oh Allah, I memorized the book. And it'll be said, you lied. You read so that people can say this and say that about you, and he'll be thrown on his face in the fire. So sincerity, as you rightly mentioned, barakallahu fiqh, is where we start all our actions.
Absolutely, first point. And so that sincerity should be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to learn the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to understand the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to implement the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to teach others the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa muradillah, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aims to teach you from the Quran, not just yani a translation of the Quran, but what He aims to teach you, what the point of that verse or that surah or that chapter or the paragraph or whatever it may be, what the aim or the purpose of that paragraph is, so that you can understand what Allah is trying to say to you. For that's yani obviously the main point of where to start when you want to memorize the Quran.
Now also, obviously, because it's an act of worship and you're being rewarded for every letter you read, would dua be something that we should regularly make as well for Allah to allow
absolutely.
Us to memorize the Quran?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentions in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. And even in regards to your acts of worship, yani you should seek assistance. And the best of assistance is the assistance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَدْعُوهُ بِهَا. Yani, and to Allah belongs the best of names, so invoke Him by them. And to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sincerity and for pure intentions as well, and as well as to be a memorizer of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know many verses in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us to call upon Him and He will respond. And so it is upon you as a Muslim to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with whatever it may be, but in this case we're talking about the Quran, whatever goal that you may have, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this case, to memorize the Quran, call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask Him for assistance, ask Him for patience, and ask Him for sincerity and pure intentions, for Him to allow you to memorize the Quran.
Now, Sheikh Nazir, we have our first question, and that is, and this is something I wanted to ask as well. The intention is right. You're making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tajweed issue. Should you learn tajweed first, then memorize Quran, or should you learn it hand in hand, or what's the issue? Just memorize without tajweed? What's the best way to approach this question?
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there's a few things, yani.
Firstly, what is tajweed? Sorry, for those who may not know what tajweed is.
Tajweed is the science of the recitation of the Quran. And initially, tajweed for the Arabs at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the companions or the tabi'een afterwards, was knowing where to stop and where to start. Because sometimes if you continue a verse and you stop at the wrong place and you start at the wrong place, you could provide a different meaning of these verses. So initially, tajweed was for the Arabs who understood the language and understood how to put a fatha or a dhamma or how to pronounce the word. It was knowing where to stop and where to start. And then as the non-Arabs started to enter into Islam, we've started seeing pronunciation issues. We started seeing issues with the tashkil, which is like your fatha and your kasra and your dhamma. And so overall, tajweed is the science of recitation based on where you stop and where you start. The pronunciation of letters, I'm not saying words, the pronunciation of letters, to that being specific, and the rules when connecting the words together, knowing how to lengthen, knowing, you know, the signs, literally the whole script, understanding the whole script of the Quran, of the Mus'haf, and understanding what it means and how to pronounce it. That's pretty much in a nutshell what tajweed is.
Excellent.
There's many things that you need to understand or learn when you're memorizing tajweed, afan the Quran. But most people would go straight towards tajweed. Now, if your mother tongue is not Arabic, then my recommendation is to not learn tajweed first. And in my classes, I teach through practice. Now, some places, ma'ahad, some institutes that teach Quran, they're really focused on tajweed, and that is a beautiful thing, and we need to see more of that. However, they do not provide, I know some of them, they do not provide enough practice, and they rely on the student to go home and to practice those rules. Now, that student may be going home and practicing those rules incorrectly. Yani, you want to make sure that when you're memorizing, when you're practicing, that you are practicing correctly. So it's a bit difficult to try and read and apply tajweed and then memorize at the same time. It's very difficult. So generally, what I would say in terms of learning tajweed, I would just put that aside initially. And you need to develop an eloquency of the tongue when it comes to recitation. And that eloquency of the tongue, just allowing it to be free to speak, just like a natural speaker in his own language would be able to speak freely and eloquently without having to, for example, if I was to say, without having to like read or pause, you know, do you understand what I'm saying, Nadal? No. So being able to freely say the words. And so I'll give you the best example. The way I teach my children, and Yani, everyone thinks that I sit there and with them every day and spend hours. In fact, there's a very good way. It's a much easier way. I use the website Quran.com. Have you seen Quran.com before, Nadal?
Yes. Very good website.
Have you been? Yeah, I think it's an excellent website. And so what I teach my kids, and inshallah we'll get to that, is to place a set of verses, put Minshawi on. Yeah, everyone knows my love for Minshawi, rahmatullahi alayh. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from him and all the reciters. So put that on, allow them to repeat, pop their headphones on, allow them to say it out loud and get their tongues in that activity of pronouncing Arabic, you know, not having to stop on ila or ala, or knowing when to say al or when to take out the al fi huruf al-qamariya or shamsiya. I would say if you're if Arabic is not your mother tongue, then I would say pop tajweed on the side for a bit and just get that fluency in recitation, that eloquency in recitation from obviously a good sheikh. And then once you are fluent, then obviously go back and start to learn the tajweed. But if you've chosen the right tajweed, you are already applying tajweed, which is, remember what I was saying previously when I was on, subhanAllah, I was leading the prayer once in my, you know, the beginning of my journey to memorize the Quran. And I led the prayer at one masjid. It was a small masjid out of Sydney. And subhanAllah, the brother comes up to me afterwards, and I had already memorized, I think, four juz'. And the brother comes up to me and he says to me, mashallah, you have really good tajweed. And I'm like, what's tajweed? And he's like looking at me shocked. He's like, you don't know what tajweed is? I said, wallahi, I don't know what tajweed is. The first time I've ever heard of it. But I listen to Minshawi and I copy exactly what Minshawi does. He goes up, I go up. He goes down, I go down. He pronounces it like this, I pronounce it like that. You can't go wrong. That's probably the best way to start with your memorization.
Why have you there, Sheikh Nazir? And that's the approach I saw a lot of the sheikhs take with my children, is that they would teach them tajweed, not with the theory, with the practicality.
Yeah.
So as they're teaching them a surah, yeah, they're telling them how to pronounce a certain letter, how long that mad should be, but not telling them the actual rule behind it. So they're teaching them tajweed, but more practically than theory-based.
Sahih. So in my classes, the first few months, I focus on makharij al-huruf wa sifat. So the makharij is where the articulation point is and where the sound must come from, etc., etc. And sifat are the traits that belong to that letter. And you can have different traits at different times, depending on the letter. So I teach them that, and I've just got this general mad rule that I teach them. That's sufficient for them to sort of continue until they become a little bit eloquent in the recitation.
Excellent. Now, what about knowing the basic meanings of what you're memorizing? Does that help?
Sahih. There's a few things that you need to have some kind of knowledge of. One of them is tajweed, as we mentioned. It's good to just sort of have a read of it, just so you can understand that there is a science behind the recitation. The second is understanding. There is a point, obviously, of memorizing, and you get rewarded for the recitation and your struggle, etc., etc. However, the kitab anzalnahu ilayka mubarak liyadabbaru ayati. So the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been set down for you to understand the verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent. So you do require some kind of understanding of what you're reciting, and that assists you with the most basic point of tajweed, or the most important base point of tajweed, which is where to stop and where to start if you become short of breath, or if you need to stop somewhere and you don't know where to restart. So you need to have some kind of understanding of certain words.
Excellent. And what about the knowledge with the Arabic language? Would that assist as well in helping one memorize and understand and not make as much mistakes?
Yeah, subhanAllah. I never knew the benefit I would get from learning grammar and morphology in Arabic. I used to memorize 2 juz' a year, and I had the goal of memorizing, but whenever that was to be, and I left that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as I put in the effort. So when I learned Arabic grammar and morphology, subhanAllah, my memorization went from 2 juz'ain to like 4-5 juz' a year. It made like a vast difference. Why? Because I didn't have to memorize the tashkil. I didn't actually have to memorize if that was a fatha. And this is a lot of brothers have problems with memorization because, I don't know if it's a fatha, or if it's a kasra, or if it's mu'mineen, or if it's mu'minun, or yani. And the grammar, learning grammar resolves that for you. And it becomes such a natural recitation after you learn the grammar, you actually don't need to concentrate on every word's tashkil after that, because it becomes assumed you already know what the tashkil is going to be. For example, we know harf jar wa majrur. So we have like fi ila an ala ba wal ka fa wa ta ila akhirih. We know that any time we see that and there's a word after it, we know that that word is always going to carry, or most of the time it's going to carry, a kasra. And so that's something you don't really need to think of anymore. We know in verses that have like a mubtada and a khabar, we know that both of them are going to be marfu', which means if it's a single word, it's going to hold a dhamma. You don't need to really think about it anymore. There's so many I could probably talk about. If we know that if a fa'al is majzoom, we know the fa'al is going to be or have a sukoon on it, or the harf al-illah is going to the ya or the alif or the wa, whatever it may be, is probably going to be taken away. There's so much that by learning grammar will assist when you are reciting or memorizing the Quran, without you having to spend time learning the tashkil and learning the structure of the word to pronounce. You automatically will know that through the Arabic grammar. So that's probably one of the most important things in assisting you with memorizing the Quran.
So learning Nahu and Sarf, as you mentioned them there in English, grammar and morphology is very important as well, and a good way of helping you memorize the Quran. Okay, what about now? Moving on, what's next after this basically introduction?
Yeah. So, yani, we'll just recap the intro. So,
yes.
To memorize, you need to have some kind of understanding of what Tajweed is. You need to have some kind of basic understanding of the words or the tafsir. You need to have some basic understanding of Arabic grammar and morphology, for Nahu or Sarf in Arabic. And yani, there's other things that I'd like to talk about. We sort of skipped over, but
please mention them.
Setting a goal.
Excellent.
Yani, everyone wants to come in and start from Surah Al-Baqarah. And I generally steer the brothers away from starting from the front of the Mus'haf, even though you should. And because I see that the brothers that memorize Surah Al-Baqarah, I hear a lot of brothers come to when they join the class, they're like, I've memorized Surah Al-Baqarah, but I've forgotten it. And the reason why they've forgotten it is because it's very difficult to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah. No, it's not difficult to memorize Surah Al-Baqarah, but you memorize Surah Al-Baqarah and it's very difficult to maintain the revision of Surah Al-Baqarah. Whereas when you start from the end of the Quran and memorize backwards, your goal starts with little surah, little chapters, half a page to one page, maximum 2 pages generally for the first few ajza. And these are a surah that you can use in the prayer, that you can use in any prayer. Yani, and you can recite them, you can revise them in prayer. Yani, they don't take too long to read. You can use them in your sunnah. If you have time, you're waiting somewhere, you could just pull out and read one or two surah that you may be able to revise that very quickly. And if you memorize it really well, you can even drive and read. It's something that's very simple. So having a goal, generally I like to set goals per year, but that was me. Other people like to set goals per week. For the brothers in the classes, we have like half a page a week, which is with the Madani Mus'haf, it's about 7 lines. And the Mus'haf has 14 lines per page. So we set like 7 lines a week, and generally it's like 1 line per day if they could do it. And most brothers, they could with a little bit of support. So that's one thing, having a goal, having the aim there to memorize a certain amount. The other most important thing, and this is something that really assisted me, is to have someone to read on a weekly basis. If you think that you can memorize the Quran on your own, I think you're delusional. You need to have somebody to be able for you to read on, to give you that constant motivation, to give you points and tips when it comes to difficult verses that you need to memorize, especially the verses that are very similar. There's some verses that are very similar that you need to know. Why is it in this verse as such, and why is it in this verse as such, or what is the best way of knowing it's this verse is for that and this verse is for that? And the sheikh, obviously, who has an ijazah and who's read on another sheikh and has probably read on multiple mashaykh, would be able to give you more information than what you could get off, let's say, on your own or by Googling points. So having one sheikh or even having multiple mashaykh, I would sit with Hafizahullah Sheikh Yasser on a weekly basis, and I think I did that for about 5 years, once a week, sometimes twice. Allah Jazeel Khair, he assisted me so much. I had mashaykh online that I would read to twice a week, sometimes 3 times a week, from Egypt. And yani, they would take something very little, like $5 to $10. I don't know what it's like now, but something very little. And just for them, knowing that you have an appointment, knowing that you have a meeting with the sheikh, you prepare yourself. You Make sure you make your recitation throughout the week, because it's a bit embarrassing coming every week to the Sheikh and saying to the Sheikh, Wallahi Sheikh, I wasn't able this week. And then the next week, Wallahi Sheikh, I got busy. And then you know, the Sheikh is going to get fed up and either tell you off or stop the classes. So yani, it's best to have someone that will set targets for you, will ensure that you're keeping up with those targets, and also assist you with the memorization and anything else that you may need that you might not know. So having goals, having a target, and
having a sheikh.
I think the point, having a sheikh to assist you. SubhanAllah, I had a brother that I sat down with, and he said to me, oh, mashallah, you know, I've been memorizing, I think I've memorized 10 pages from Surah Al-Baqarah. And so, oh, mashallah, yallahat ma'andak, right? So he couldn't even get past the first two verses, and yani, two verses on the other page. Because there was things that he just pulls up a sheikh, any sheikh, and just follows the sheikh. Now, not every sheikh that we hear on the Al-Bayan, the Mashaykh, mashallah, very good. You have Minshawi most of the time, and I encourage Minshawi. but not all the Mashaykh, actually recite correctly. And then you have some Mashaykh that recite correctly, but they're like old recitations, probably not correct. And you know, YouTube, you get one recitation, you upload it, and then everyone just copies it, and then it becomes like, there's another 100 copies of it somewhere over YouTube. So it's yani, we know yani that Minshawi and the Husari have very good recitations, no matter which recitation you pull up from YouTube. So I would yani recommend to stick with them. And everyone complains, oh, they're too slow. You can increase the speed, but generally they're slow with just Amma, and then after that they start to speed up with the other chapters. Why? Because just Amma is for children or beginners, and they need to be listening to something that's a little bit slower so they can learn a little bit more.
Before you move on from that point, you know, we know for Sheikh al-Manshawi, rahimahullah, he's got the, as they call it, the mujawwad, the one where he takes his time and he stretches, and he's got the, I think they call it the murattal. Which one should we listen to? Yeah. The one where it's a normal speed, we can say.
Yeah. The mujawwad and the murattal terms, they're not even correct in this place here.
Yeah, but that's what they upload them as.
But that's what it's known as. The murattal is the one to listen to in order to benefit you from the memorization. Sometimes the mujawwad is beneficial in a way. In if you listen to the same verses in the mujawwad, you can hear the pronunciation of the letters. So if you really want to be specific on articulation points and the traits and characteristics of the letters, sometimes the mujawwad will help you. But there is like a high quality murattal recitations out there that have been recorded on Minshawi, for example. So when you do a search, you have to actually type in high definition or high bit rate or clear Minshawi without the echo. And so you will find one that's really clear. Nowadays you hear the one with the echo is so beautiful to listen to, subhanAllah. And the way Minshawi writes, recites it, he recites it in a way like he's telling you a story, like he's explaining to you, and he's giving you meaning at the same time. For it's really nice to hear it with a little bit of echo, but I do recommend without the echo so that it doesn't interfere with picking up little things that you might not be aware of. Like for example, the humps, you know, waja'at kullu nafsin. Yani the ta here, the it might get lost in the actual in the echo, so it's better to listen to it without the echo. And one good thing about learning from a sheikh, subhanAllah, we see this in children. You put a like a rhyme or a rhythm or a anshuda or anything like that, and the kids pick it up straight away. Why? Because they're hearing the same ups and the same downs and the same words and the same rhythm and the same tone. And so the benefit of listening to a sheikh is that you pick up this tone, you pick up this rhythm. Sometimes it even assists you in sometimes when you have like the same verses in different surah, but he reads it in this chapter differently than he reads it in this chapter. And so it allows that confusion to be less when it comes to those verses that you are reciting. So subhanAllah, I had a funny story. I was memorizing from behind, from the back of the Quran to forward, and I wouldn't jump a chapter. If I hadn't finished the surah, I would not go to the next chapter until I finish it. And that was like firm until one of the brothers, it was actually Muhammad Khadar, Allah Yajzi al-Khair wa Hifadhu, he gave me a tape. And we had tapes back then. We didn't really have CDs or anything, but he gave me a tape.
The tape days.
The tape days. And
did you have the Walkman as well?
No, I didn't have the Walkman. I just had the tapes in the car.
I lived in the Walkman days.
No, I actually upgraded to MP3s after that. So, alhamdulillah. But my car was very old as a student. Yani, I just had tapes in the car. And I had the set from Minshewi.
I remember it. Yeah.
They were really good. Yeah, I ended up losing them. SubhanAllah, I went to buy a new car in the years after that, after I started working. And I loved this car. And when we went inside and the brother, he was a Muslim brother selling me the car, he's like, "Akhi, it's got a CD player and even an MP3 player." And I'm like, "Do you have any in with tapes?" And he's looking at me weird, like, "What's wrong with you? It's a CD and an MP3 player." Because before they only had the CD players, right? Until the upgraded version came, that came with the MP3 player.
You forgot the CD stacker.
Yeah, oh, the CD stacker as well, yeah. And he's looking at me weird going like, "What the hell? Like, what's wrong with you? You're going to get a CD and an MP3 player." And I said, "Oh, because I have like my tapes of Minshewi that I need to listen to." But alhamdulillah.
I love the same place as well.
After that. Yeah,
now, Sheikh Nazir, before I forget, you were mentioning there before about Minshewi. On the Quran app on the Android devices, I don't know about Apple devices, they actually give you that choice. And the quality recording on it is very, very good for Sheikh Minshewi, rahimahullah. Yeah. So for those who have the app, you can download it.
Yeah. The Quran app and Quran.com, I think they're linked. And there is the same app on Apple, but it goes by a different name. If you don't mind me just Googling this very quickly.
Go for it.
Because I had to download this for my mother the other day. Quran app iOS, is that what we're
yeah, that's the one.
No,
I'll bring
no.
it up as well.
Let me just,
so we got the Quran for Android. I'll put it for the listeners there. I don't know if we can see that one.
Yeah, that's there, the one go. That I use. That's fantastic.
That's excellent.
What's good about that one is that one there, if you have a look at, let's have a look at my one, for example, and I'll show you something good. Like, for example, if I'm in Surat An-Nisa and I'm revising because I use my phone for revision, what you will find is you'll find that you can highlight specific
it's a better shot there than my one. Yeah, perfect.
Yeah, specific verses. And so as I'm revising, if I think that I've got something wrong, or if I think that I'm not strong in that verse, I will highlight it so that when I do go revise over it again in the future, I know that something's up with this verse. I need to pay attention, more attention with this verse, so that I don't make this regular mistake that I probably found myself making. Let me just find, because it's really important, because a lot of people ask me for iOS and I have no idea until I came across it the other day.
I've got a solution for them. Just buy an Android.
There you are. By a smartphone, not an iPhone.
Ah, okay, yes.
That's what I said. Yeah.
Our tech team won't like that. The Apple users, they might just take us off.
Come on, Jamal. You made the change too many times.
Yeah, he said it's the battery life. I told him, use your phone less, you'll be all right.
Is that the excuse? Yeah.
I told him, use your phone less, you'll be all right. We don't have to worry about the battery.
Oh, okay, I got it. Yeah. It's the app's name is Quran by Quran.com.
Okay, yeah. Is that it? I wonder if it's available on the App Store, on the Google Play.
No, it's probably the same app. Thing. So
it's the same app, is it? Yeah.
This one here. Yeah.
Oh, Quran by Quran.com. Same app. Yeah, there we go. Perfect. Yeah. There we go.
So when you look at the pictures, you can see the picture underneath. It's exactly the same. Same print.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah. So that was Quran by Quran.com.
Yeah, that's the same one. Yeah. We got, perfect.
We got 11,200 ratings at 4.9. That's got to say something.
Yeah, it's got tafsir on there as well, translations, Arab, a lot of stuff. Yeah, so for those who like to use their phones. And we've actually done a series of book reviews on tafsir. It's available in English and Arabic. I've done it with our dear beloved brother, Farhan bin Rafia from Dar es Salaam Bookstore. Mm-hmm. So whoever would like to review that, they can find it on our YouTube channel, Al Bayan Radio Australia, where we recommend some of the tafsirs and we go over them. That you can purchase in English, and more importantly, for those who can read Arabic, in Arabic, and we give a step-by-step approach, as many of the ulama have taught. Where we're moving to now, since we have around 10 minutes left before we have to wrap up,
yeah.
I think we're going to have to do this over a few parts.
I wanted to just also go on with the, just going back to using a sheikh, the way I recommend it, as I mentioned at the start, is by putting something on like this, like the headphone, so that you can sort of block out outside noises to an extent. And listening to the sheikh whilst reciting, and sort of try and recite out loud if you can. Because your tongue only improves when it moves. And if you're reciting, if you're holding your mushaf and you're just reciting in a low voice, most likely you're not going to be pronouncing the words properly. You're not going to be stretching the mudud. Some of it is going to be eaten away. Maybe you're breathing in and reciting, which you can do whilst your voice is low. So I would recommend to read out loud after you've chosen the sheikh. And some of the benefits I mentioned with the sheikh is you learn his you match his tone. You match his rhythm, you match his rules, the tajweed rules, you match everything that the sheikh does. Inshallah, if the sheikh is reciting correctly, then you recite correctly as well. So pop your headphones on. And like I said, you can have a mushaf or you can have the Quran.com app, which I really recommend. But on that point, I would always recommend a mushaf to hold.
Same one.
Mushaf. Yeah, I was going to get to that as well. The mushaf adds benefit. Holding a book, subhanAllah, is, don't quote me on this, but I remember reading some kind of study that was based on, is reading from a computer any different to reading from a book? And subhanAllah, I can't remember what it said, but I think there was some positives for both. But for me, reading from the actual mushaf, having a physical book in front of me, without a light shining into my eye, is quite beneficial than reading off my phone. So I would always recommend using a mushaf, using a large mushaf, so not one of those tiny ones the size of your hand, but something a little bit bigger. Don't have my mushaf here.
About something like this one.
I don't have it here.
Sheikh Nazir, like this one,
yes.
You reckon? This
Yeah. So this
is probably
Yanni. That's probably the better one. And can we have a look
at that? I like using the bigger one as well. I got the blueprint at home.
Yeah. I remember in reading over Umar radiallahu anhu, he saw a companion reading with a small mushaf, and so he hit him with a stick and he said, "Azim kitab Allah, anhu, make it great. Don't have this tiny mushaf that you're reading out of for the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but have a mushaf that's large enough for you to easily read and not strain your eyes. Have the same mushaf every time and use your markers and whatnot, and using a pencil in the hawamish on the sides of the mushaf, try and just record some notes in regards to whether it be meaning, whether it be points to remember, like for example, in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ, there's like a few of them. So you obviously need to understand them, and you need to go back and maybe just write a little bit of a meaning as to which one is which, because they're not in order. For example, the last وَإِذَا طَلَّقْتُمُ النِّسَاءَ in Surah Al-Baqarah, I think, is a abrogated verse. So the ruling on that actually doesn't apply, and the ruling on the ones before apply. So if you're trying to memorize them based on their rulings, then it might not be suitable in that case. So you need to have like little markers, for example, as well. فَتَيَمَّمُوا صَعِيدًا طَيِّبًا فَامْسَحُوا بِوُجُوهِكُمْ وَأَيْدِيكُمْ مِنْ. So there's a verse with min, and there's a verse without min. Min is in Surah Al-Ma'idah, and Surah Al-Nisa is without min. And so you need to come up with little rules and little tips, and I've got a tip for that, but I won't say that because I might offend some people. that's something that you need to be writing down on the side. As well, Yani, for example, I remember in my early days in the first year that I started memorizing, like for example, Surah Al-Jinn, I like hit a block. I attempted to memorize that so many times. I think I memorized it 5 years later. I had to concede initially, and then I came back and tried again, and then I conceded, and then I kept coming back to it until, alhamdulillah, I finally memorized it. So you got to have little points and little markers to sort of assist you with the understanding and the knowing where the verses are and how to apply the verses on the page. And I think I'm not sure how we're going for time, but there's one more point that's very important is the memorization requires hard work, it requires time, it requires effort. Don't think that you can just give it half an hour a day and expect to memorize in a short period of time, but you need to give it like hours, literally hours, and you need to be sitting down or standing. I find standing and walking and holding the mushaf very effective as going through the pages than sitting down. Sometimes you sit down and you lie down and you end up falling asleep. You wake up, you're like, where am I? And the pages are gone. I find standing and walking and reading from the mushaf to be very, very effective. And you have to continuously repeat these verses over and over again, reading them in prayer, even in the sunan prayers. You're allowed to hold the mushaf and read, even according to Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen, and he's said this many times, even in the farida, which is not recommended, but it is allowed for you to be able to hold the mushaf and recite. But he says, فَقْرَأُ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ, and read whatever's suitable for you or whatever's easy for you. But he did allow recitation, even in the fara'id prayer, from the mushaf, and you can look up qira'at al-mushaf fi al-fara'id, and you can look that up on YouTube, and he's got many clips of different clips that allow that, although he doesn't recommend it. But even if you're really certain on the Isha prayer, you can smash out five pages as revision or as assisting in your memorization. That'll assist you. Other things to in regards to the repetition is recording yourself. This I didn't do until right at the very end, until I started to read on the Sheikh for an ijazah, and I knew this was serious now. I couldn't make the slightest mistake. I wasn't able to make. So I would read 10 pages and recite to myself over my phone, and then I would listen and then I would mark my mistakes, and then I'd reread that and try and correct my mistakes. So recording yourself and listening to yourself will assist you as well. So these are the main tips to memorizing the Quran.
What about selecting a suitable time? What do you think about that? When did you find the best time?
Yeah, our ummah has been blessed with the
mornings,
the early part of the day. The morning is very effective, especially after you've woken up and you've made your wudu and you've awoken. Some people it's after a coffee. Some people they just after wudu and after the first two prayers, the sunnah and the fajr.
They're alert. Is that coffee? Is that coffee what? Mufrad or jama' there or coffees?
Sorry.
Coffee hat. Coffee hat, oh.
Nah. After a triple shot in 15 minutes and you're just buzzing.
Tell me about it.
But the morning.
I think I need one now.
I think I had a tea before, so a little bit buzzing.
Nice.
The morning is yani. Most people will say, and I wake up, I pray Fajr, and then I try and go back to sleep, and it takes me half an hour to go back to sleep. That half an hour, you could have read like at least 20 pages of the Mus'haf. So, the morning time is the best, and one of my recommended times is just before you sleep, because the memory actually develops when you sleep over your sleep. So if you've woken up with it and you've recited throughout the day and you've just read it and it's fresh in your mind just before you sleep, then your brain will tend to store that memory a little bit better.
Just before we finish, what's the difference between short-term memory and long-term memory?
Short-term memory, long-term memory. Jamal, you can assist me on this one. Is like RAM and your hard drive. So in your computer, you've got, when you open up an application, let's say on your phone, these days, how many people use computers? Let's say on the phone, right? You open up the application. Initially, when you first open it up, if you've got an iPhone, it might take some time. But if you've got an Android, it might be like super quick. So when you open up the app, it opens up. That's the short-term memory. It stays in the background. That's short-term memory when it stays in the background. But, if you, I don't know what it's like on the iPhone, I think you swing it up or something. It's quite funny. But if you swing it up, you can, the recent apps, and if you get rid of them, you've gotten rid of the short-term memory. So you might memorize in short-term memory, but it might not be stored in long-term. Long-term memory is like when you save a document, it's stored in the actual hard drive. Even if you haven't opened it for 2-3 years and you don't know anything of what it says, you can still open it. It's still stored. It's still stored in there. You have to look for it and you have to, open up Microsoft, let's say, and allow it to pop up. But it's still stored in there. It's different to when you've just read it and you've gone back to it and you switched between screens. That's short-term memory. But when it's actually physically stored on the hard drive, that's your long-term memory. And long-term memories happen or develop or create it when you sleep. So that's why I always recommend you recite before you sleep.
Jazakallah khairan, the Sheikh Nazir. I'd love to have you on again to maybe speak more about this important topic. And I'd like to thank all the viewers for tuning in. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.